Okay, this hour, our final hour with Joshua P. Warren. All your paranormal questions will be answered when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Josh, I'm really getting excited about the Asheville event next Saturday. This is going to be cool.
Well, you know, I was talking to Tom off air about the fact that people might think we're just hyping this too much, but if you go to Google and you type in Asheville, North Carolina, you will see that this is one of the top tourist destinations in the world because it's so beautiful here, and there are so many historic buildings. There's so much fun stuff to do. They call this Beer City because there are so many microbreweries here, and I'm talking like really nice, classy bars and restaurants. You have live music. You've got street performers. And just to be here in general this time of year is a perfect experience. And when you combine that with coming to the event, and this is a one-time event, to see you, me, Micah Hanks, Bill Forstchen all on stage, I'm going to have the UFO debris that was retrieved from near the Roswell site. Everybody will get to actually take a moment and touch it and have a picture taken with it. We've got some other surprises in store. If you don't do this now and you hear your friends talking about it later, I promise you, you'll kick yourself for not being here because this combination of circumstances will never occur again.
And we've got Micah Hanks and his band.
Micah is, you know, a lot of people don't realize Micah Hanks is my cousin, and I didn't even know that when I met Micah. I met Micah just because he was another paranormal investigator in the area, and I knew him for a while before we figured out that we were related. And so when I talk about my relative who disappeared, Claude Calloway, well, that's also Micah's. And one of the things about Micah is that he and his whole family are musical geniuses. You can hand Micah any instrument, and I don't think that's an exaggeration, and he can play it and play it beautifully and wonderfully. In fact, when my wife, Lauren, and I got married, Micah and his brother and father, they played at our reception at the wedding, and it's
cool.
Going to be a real treat to see them perform.
I sent them four songs I'm going to sing, Josh, and they've been working on it, so we're going to do a little rehearsal early Saturday before the doors open at 5 o'clock. So it's going to be fun.
Well, you could not ask for better musicians to back up your soaring singing voice. And that's just one more reason to come and see this event.
That may be the reason not to come, but let's go to John in New York now. John, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, Joshua. Hi, George. Thanks for taking my
call.
Sure
thing, John.
This has to do with portholes and spirits. And
right.
A lot of them. I called the other night. I feel ashamed that I'm calling, you know, so soon after.
That's okay. That's all right.
It's kind of a big thing because there was more to the story and it has to do with my question. There was further physical effects in this reality since then that I believed, like, confirmed for me what I thought was it was. And I don't want to, like, share prayer, like, because it's personal, but this has to do with, like, a public thing that my son saw with me so we could confirm that, like, it was something we weren't imagining. So anyways, I prayed. I said, God, I saw you, this gardener, planting your seeds in the garden. That was, like, basically what I saw in the Song of Solomon. And it was longer prayer than that, but I won't get into it all, but basically it was that routine. Plus, I kind of cried a little thinking that we could be the two witnesses, and it seemed like a fearful thing to have to experience. But I hope the dying part is just like my old life before and then my new life after I saw it, because it kind of changed, and I could never even imagine not having seen it, what it was like before. It can't be the same because of what happened. But anyways, I instantly got this uniform patch, and it's just an old uniform patch, but it was out of the ground, out of a hole I was digging, like almost 5 feet down for a pool footer while I happened to be praying. I was working, and when I saw that, I was done praying, and I was just lifting my eyes and everything. At the bottom of the hole, I had to use a light to see it, and I pulled it out with two long sticks like tweezers, and there it was. It said, "Your gardening angel." The whole world stood still, and the wind and everything sounded weird. And everything.
What was it, John?
Creepy.
What was it?
A uniform patch, and it had a picture of the world surrounded by two angels, and it had words saying, "Your guardian angel." I have it, so I just keep it in my shed. I don't want to, like, praise or make it anything special, because I believe in the Bible, don't have idols or anything.
A little message for you, huh?
I just keep it as a memento. Is like, and no one witnessed me getting that out of the ground. But I did run into the house to my mom. I live in an attached apartment on the back of her house, and I basically helped her take care. I took over her business. But anyways, I ran in and showed my mom and whoever else was around at the time, and look at this. And I had recently told them about what we'd seen, and I hadn't quite realized it. And I had just realized it in the shed. I had first opened my Bible a year and a half after seeing it. I had first opened because I was afraid. And plus, you hear all the stories on Coast to Coast. Oh, there's spirits being sold, the bad ones, the aliens. And, like, I heard all sorts of stuff, you know. And you see something, that number had to be so many of them because it looked like fluid when they were in motion.
But, well, let's get Joshua's take on this, John. Josh, so he finds a patch that says your guardian angel.
Yeah, wow. Well, John, thank you so much for sharing that experience. And I think you really bring up two things that we should all be able to relate to. First off, of course, George, I have to agree with you when you say you believe there are no coincidences, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and the reason that it doesn't make sense for there to be a coincidence is because that implies or that suggests that there could be a cause without an effect. And that doesn't make much sense. And so this entire universe is an incredible, intricate pattern of machinery, if you will, that is working in perfect sync and perfect cycles. And sometimes when you're a very perceptive, aware person, you get to open your mind enough to see some of those connections, those almost geometric connections just snap into place right in front of you to reassure you that there is some design, there is some meaning, and there's some reason that you are here. And the more you search for it, the more information that you will become aware of. And so that's part of what synchronicity is, realizing about your past and seeing these connections fall into place. Furthermore, John, moving into, I think, the second aspect of this is that, you know, I am a very vivid dreamer, and I mean that very literally. When I go to sleep at night, I mean, I just have all kinds of amazing, crazy dreams. Often they are lucid dreams where I realize I'm dreaming. But because that I am one of these people, I'm able to realize that the brain is always trying to make sense of things that you're experiencing, whether or not you understand them. And so sometimes you encounter forces or energy fields that are just beyond the scope of what the normal human being has evolved to properly understand. However, the brain is able to take some of these things and find a visual reference for them. So now that's when you're sleeping, but the same thing can happen in a waking state. So there are times when you might be at a certain place where you feel some emotional connection, or you feel some kind of fear or some excitement or elation, and you don't know exactly where it's coming from. And you may even see visions and you know, flashes of imagery in your mind's eye that try to give you some kind of a symbolic representation of it. But the bottom line is you cannot necessarily always understand what these feelings and images are that you are receiving, but pay attention to the process that's going on in your head where the brain is finding a reference in your life to connect you to something else that might either be from a past experience in not just this life, but, you know, and I don't want to say quote-unquote past life necessarily, but some other incarnation of your energy from long past, or something else that is around you, but just beyond the scope of what you are capable of truly grasping on a spiritual level.
Back to the phones we go, Brian in Louisiana now. Brian, thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, about that hole.
The vortex,
wait,
yeah.
Is this Joshua P. Warren?
It is.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm calling about the wishing machine. I'm very happy with it.
Great. Well, Brian, thank you for calling from Louisiana. How have things been going for you?
Well, I mean, not so great with the flooding, but aside from that, right. You know, I found out from the The Poor Man's Paranormal book, which was a great book. I mean, it really set me on the right path to figuring out a lot of things.
Well, thank you for saying that, because, you know, it's funny. A lot of people contact me, Brian, and they say, I would like to be a paranormal investigator, but I don't have the money to go out and buy all these things that I see on TV, all these expensive electromagnetic field meters and electrostatic detectors and infrared cameras and, you know, you name it. And I try to explain in my book, Poor Man's Paranormal, which if you go to my website, joshuapwarren.com, and click on the book section, you'll find a link where you can actually download that electronically, that you don't have to go out and spend a lot of money to buy sophisticated equipment. There are things in your household right now, and everybody listening needs to understand, there are things in your house right now that you can use in order to physically document ghosts, UFOs, cryptids, psychic phenomena, and doing so is so easy and organic that will get you going. And there are people who contact me and say, we actually get together once a month and we have a poor man's paranormal party. And we actually, you know, get together and create these little devices and instruments from our house. And we get together afterward and we go and we do an investigation. So Poor Man's Paranormal has been a tremendous success, and I always love hearing from people who have used it for actual documentation.
Next up, Todd in British Columbia, Canada now. Todd, you're on with us. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, George and Joshua. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
I've had many interesting paranormal phenomena happen to me over the last few years in my apartment, starting with the battery charger keeps flying off the wall. I was looking at it. It flew off a AA charger. Bending forks and spoons, and translucent legs walking into the kitchen in the middle of the night, nothing coming out the other side.
Jeez.
And a computer desk chair spinning by itself. And I was sleeping, and I saw a blurred image. I wore glasses of a glowing woman running towards me. And I kicked a goblet, and it shattered, a goblet of water, and the entity disappeared.
It disappeared?
Yeah.
The shattered glass, everything gone?
A few inches away from me. I kicked at a goblet of water and it disappeared. It was a glowing image of a woman. I had the lights completely turned off in my apartment.
What do you think was going on there, Todd? What do you think was going on there? Do you think the apartment is haunted?
Well, you know, it could be that, but it also could be that, Todd, your apartment is one of these natural portals. And to sort of reemphasize, what makes these portals so interesting and dynamic is that, you know, everything in the universe exists ultimately in one of two states, either stillness or motion. And in order for there to be motion, there must be an imbalance, meaning that there must be particles of energy that are traveling from one point to another. And these places that we call portals are places where there is a natural dynamic imbalance. And so if the portal is a strong spot, that means there is an enormous amount of field energy that's sort of traveling through there, and it can cause a whole variety of weird effects. So you might have spots that include a ghostly sighting, or an object flying around, or something just shattering in front of you, or maybe you turn out the lights and you see some kind of a weird glow, for example. And that's something that, as we mentioned earlier in the show, might also be achieved artificially. In my laboratory, we have created these artificial imbalances where we supercharge one particular spot and we see all of a sudden these effects that are taking place around it, as energy is trying to get into or out of that spot. There is also this very mysterious thing called the Hutchison effect, where a researcher named John Hutchison has, you know, he's one of those guys who started out, George, is like going into a room and saying, I'm going to take every weird thing that I have and just turn it on all at once and see what happens, right? And so he would turn on like Tesla coils and microwaves and Van de Graaff machines and Wimshurst machines. And when you do that, it creates a space of energetic chaos.
And then these, you know, objects levitate, things glow, things move, things shatter, people see ghosts and other odd things. And this is the kind of stuff that I also have done in my laboratory. So I can tell you, Todd, that if you are in one of those places that happens to naturally create that imbalance, then you will experience all kinds of things that you might consider paranormal. And it's difficult to, again, categorize them into one particular file cabinet.
Let's get in Grant, first-time caller, truck driving in Wisconsin. Hi, Grant, go ahead.
Hi, nice to talk to you, George.
You too, Grant.
I listen to your show every night. I don't know if mine is that strange as everybody else's, but something's been going on almost my entire life.
Okay, can I get you closer to your phone, Grant, if I can?
Sure. How's that?
Okay, good.
Okay, I'm on a headset, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Let me start. I was born February 9th, 1955, so that would be 2955. When I was young, I never noticed anything. When I went in the military, I worked on fighter jets, and each person is assigned a jet, and on the tail of each jet is a number. And my number was 255 of my jet. And that was just like coincidence, I thought. But then through my life, this kept coming up. And then the past couple of years, it's getting stronger and stronger all the time. I worked for a company driving a truck. And they gave me a brand new truck, and the number of the truck was 2955. Which is 2955. I lived in California, and I bought a new house in Wisconsin. I didn't know the address when I got here. My address was 2555. The company I work for, every place we go to pick up a load or every place has a geocode assigned to it. And when I was a kid, I lived in Milwaukee. My address was 2208 South 17th Street. Our geocode for our company, where I pick up my truck every day, is 2208170. It's just it comes up everywhere I look. Is 55 something, 255. It's always something, and I can't believe this is just all coincidence that these numbers just keep coming up.
Josh, go ahead. We've got a minute left.
All right. You know, Grant, I love your call because even a strict scientific mathematician will tell you that numbers symbolically represent patterns in nature. And that is why, for example, the number pi is so intriguing. Pi is an infinite number. It's irrational. It goes on forever. And it's a good sort of reference to how we view our inability to comprehend infinity. And ultimately, these cycles, whether we're talking about the orbits of within atoms or we're talking about the orbits in the cosmos, these all are representations of some kind of an organization. And you are a part of that. And when you are in that position, Grant, it shows you that you are especially aware of this design that you are living within. And if you follow that number, it's going to lead you into places that are beneficial for your life.
Josh, we're going to come back and take final calls with you as we talk about all things paranormal next on Coast to Coast AM. Now it's time for our traditional shout-out, and thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM, and you really do, on our 615 radio stations across North America. Hello there, Coast Insiders, thank you. And those who listen to us on Sirius XM Channel 146, and then the chat rooms that are out there, Coast to Coast Elite Group, the Into Infinity Group, Imaginative Worlds, National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, the MySpace Groups, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, all of you, thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Joshua P. Warren with us. Our final segment with Josh. We'll have open lines for you next hour. And Josh, thanks for hanging around an extra hour for us.
You know, it is always my pleasure. As you know, I am not only a guest on your program, but I am a huge fan and listener. And it's one of the most fun highlights of my life to be able to talk to you and the listeners. So this is great.
Have you been to the theater we're going to be at next week, the Diana Wortham Theater?
Yes, I have. I have seen many performances there. I've seen Shakespeare there. I've seen local plays there. And you're going to be quite impressed. It is just the perfect atmosphere for a show like this one to really enhance everything and give everybody a perfect experience.
I was looking at a picture, Josh, of the seating arrangements, and there's only 8 seats left on the bottom level, and they're starting to sell the balcony now. But it's still down on the bottom. No matter where you are, you still have a great seat.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, as you said, certainly by your standards, it is kind of a small theater, because I know you, George. I mean, you frequently pack out some giant theaters. And so, you know, this is one that is designed so that every seat is a really, really great seat. And so it's hard to believe that we're just 7 days away. And I can't, you know, again, emphasize enough to everybody listening, if you can make it to Asheville next weekend, do it.
Absolutely. Let's now go to the phones. We'll go to Brandon in Albion, New York. Welcome to the show. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hello, George. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
There's a couple of things I'd like to go by. First, this is Josh, right? It's also on the other
line.
Yep,
he's listening. Yep, he's
I'm here.
Hey, Brandon. Hello, Josh. Yes. One first question I wanted to ask you was, see, me and my family, we have a history, but it's of seeing the Reaper. You know, the Reaper is like death himself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I want to know, is it like, maybe does that have something to do with like genetics? Because my mother has seen him, my father has seen him, and I have seen him, but I have 8 sisters and only 1 brother, and no one else in the family has seen him. But my mother and father both have, and I know I have Native American blood, so I thought maybe that had to maybe throw in there a little bit too. But I had also seen him the night before my uncle had died, so I thought that was a big coincidence too.
Well, you know, Brandon, it's funny because for years when I was starting out my research, I just assumed that the icon of the Grim Reaper was something people imagined because it's, you know, it's a scary looking thing. And then I started to see evidence that there actually are beings that look like the Grim Reaper. I mean, if you've never seen this, let me give you one of the best examples. There is a famous photograph among paranormal circles that was taken in England at a church called the Church at Newby in 1963. And the vicar of the church was a man named Reverend K.F. Lord, who, by all accounts, never was out there trying to, you know, gain some attention for being a paranormalist. And one day, he was taking pictures of the interior of the church to produce a pamphlet. And even though during his photography session he did not see anything, when the pictures developed, there is this, I mean, chilling photograph of this tall, I mean, by to look at the scale, like 7-foot tall, hooded, cloaked, dark, very scary-looking being standing there, and it's now become known as the Newby Phantom photograph. And it has been analyzed again and again by esteemed photographic institutions, and nobody has found any reason to believe this was fake. As a matter of fact, if you go to my website, joshuapwarren.com, and click on the Gallery of the Strange, there's a section there called the World's Wildest Ghost Photos, and you can see in great detail this image of the Newby Phantom, and he really does look like the Grim Reaper. And so we have to imagine that, sure enough, when we die, it may be that there are beings there that sort of help usher us onto the next experience. And if, you know, maybe under certain circumstances, if you are, if you need to have a scary experience, well, these Grim Reaper beings may be the exact entity that you're going to see that will take you on. And hopefully that won't happen to any of us, but it can.
Frankie in Austin, Texas. Hi, Frankie.
Hi, George. I've talked to you about four times now.
Yes, you have. And by the way, we may be in Austin next year for a live stage show, so make sure you come on back.
Yeah. When I was in Illinois, I wanted to come see you, and my son that I was living down there close to, he kept saying, oh, don't do that. So in Austin, I may actually get to do it.
Yes, you sure should.
Yeah, because the other was going to be like a three-hour trip, so, you know, I thought it was too long. Okay, yes, I had a question for Joshua. And a long time ago, like back in the 80s, when my kids were like, you know, 5, 7 years old, we took them to Disneyland or Disney World, whichever's in Florida. And on the way back, we decided to go through the mountains because I had never seen the mountains. And we made kind of a bad choice of starting later in the afternoon, and it ended up getting very dark. And we had no clue of how far we were, you know, or anything. You know, it was way before GPS and everything. And so we finally, up in the mountains, found a motel. And it was just like a little rinky-dink motel. Wasn't anything, you know, I would have liked to really stayed in. But we were tired, and we wanted to see the mountains the next day on the way down. So we pulled in, stayed, and we all just went straight to bed. The boys, we got a double bed room, you know, the two queens. And the boys in one bed and my husband and I in the other. In the middle of the night, I woke up, and there was a man standing by my bed. I mean, it was a shadow. I mean, all I could see was just a black shadow. I can't say a man, I just assumed. And I woke my husband up, and I was having trouble waking him up. So I kept shaking, and I looked at him. Well, I looked back, he was gone. And I mean, the weird thing is, the next morning, when we got up to load up the car and leave, we were trying to say I just dreamed it or something, but I knew I was awake. There was a cemetery right next to the motel, which we hadn't seen the night before because it was pitch dark when we pulled in. And I just wonder if you had heard anything since this, you know, you were talking about the Carolinas earlier. Had you ever heard of anything like that? Or know of a motel in that area? Because I couldn't tell you the name at this day and age.
What do you think, Josh?
Well, you know, Frankie, you've actually brought up something that's probably going to give a lot of listeners nightmares this evening. for one thing, you know, being raised up in North Carolina, if you were driving back up from Florida, some of the first mountains you may have encountered were in Georgia. I'm not certain exactly where that would be, where that motel would be, but there are a lot of haunted places in those Georgia mountains. And then, of course, that leads to mountains of Tennessee and North Carolina. And by the way, I love Austin, and Austin would be a perfect place for you to do an event, George. They have the bumper stickers, Keep Austin Weird, there, just like they do in Asheville. But getting back to your story, Frankie, there is indeed this phenomenon of beings that will appear next to your bedside at night, and they seem to actually feed upon your dormant energy while you are sleeping. And this goes all the way back to, well, it's certainly at very least the birth of what we call psychical research in England in the Victorian era, in which it was common for a paranormal research team to bring a person along they called a sleeper. And that person's job was to literally lie down and go to sleep during the investigation. And that would enhance the paranormal activity. Well, over the years, I have gotten many, many reports like yours about people who go to sleep at night, and then maybe they just pop awake at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning, and they can't explain why, but they are in a panic state. And there was one lady who did this in Connecticut, I believe, who set up a video camera, and she actually got footage of one of these sort of dark, spooky beings that glides up to her bedside just before 2 o'clock in the morning, watches her while she sleeps, and then glides away just before she pops awake. And my understanding is that, well, you know, you and I, we gather energy into our bodies by doing things that are really rather crude and primitive. I mean, we have to chew up food and swallow it, or we have to, you know, drink liquid. But some of these other beings that are not so rooted in our physical dimension, I think, can actually directly absorb energy almost like osmosis. And when you're lying there asleep and you are relaxed and your energy field is nice and calm and expanded,
some of these beings will actually take advantage of that. They will notice you, and they will come up, and they will just quietly stand there next to your bed and absorb that energy. That's how they feed parasitically. Some of them are more respectful, meaning they don't try to wake you up. Others might just jump right on top of you and, you know, take advantage of you like some kind of demon. But once they've had their fill, then they move away. And it's a very spooky concept, but that may be what you experience, Frankie.
Josh, you had mentioned earlier the Ouija board. I got to ask you, your full take on the Ouija boards. I mean, you're a paranormal investigator. What do you think?
Well, you know, when I was starting my research so many years ago, I was really intrigued with people who told me about extremely palpable physical experiences they'd had with Ouija boards. Using a Ouija board in order to get information that later turned out to be true. I mean, there was one lady, for example, that I knew very well who used a Ouija board at a party one night, like so many folks do, and got a name. And then later turns out that name was inscribed on a tombstone at a cemetery down the road. Now, you might look at things like that and say, hey, there's no doubt something paranormal is occurring. But there is a misconception. And the misconception seems to be that the Ouija board itself is an inherently powerful tool that has some kind of intrinsic ability to communicate with the other side. But when I've done experiments at my laboratory, taking people who sit down and use a Ouija board and are getting all of these amazing sort of coherent messages, and then I blindfold those people and ask them to repeat it, well, suddenly the Ouija board starts speaking a bunch of nonsense. And that's why I think that the Ouija board is just a very simple but highly effective tool that may help you tap into your own psychic ability in order to connect with the other side. So that is to say, the Ouija board itself may not have any, again, inherent power, but it's a very, very good tool for allowing people to go deeper into themselves mentally, psychologically, and actually allow their own psychic ability to come forth and therefore communicate with these other beings.
Let's go to Knoxville, Tennessee. Jacob is with us. Hi, Jacob. Jacob,
hey,
there you go.
Show.
Thank you, sir.
Let me ask you something. It's about black wolves. And my brother and I were out metal detecting on a private property with permission, of course, and we saw this black dog. It looked like a wolf, and we just kind of ignored it, and then it was probably about 25 yards in front of us, and we went over this bank, and we saw a black wolf. Dead off the bank.
Jeez.
No, I'm serious. And we called the
I believe you.
We called the TWRA, Tennessee Wildlife Reserve Agency.
They come right out.
They confirmed it was a wolf, but we saw a black wolf running in front of us. Okay. Probably about 25 yards, and we were out there metal detecting for, it's on an area that's known for Civil War relics. And we went over the bank, and there is a dead black wolf.
Wow. And what's the significance of a black wolf, Josh, in paranormal land?
Right. Well, you know, Jacob, if you go into... let's say a bar. I don't know if you're a fellow who walks into a bar from time to time, but maybe you sit down at the bar and there are a bunch of people there, and some people, you just ignore them and they ignore you. But then other people, for some reason, you sort of look at each other and there's a connection there. And the next thing you know, you're having a conversation. And the next thing you know, they know one of your neighbors. And then all of a sudden you realize, wow, it's no wonder that I was connected to this person because we didn't understand it. We didn't know it, but we are tapped into a larger series of circumstances. And the same thing goes for what we call spirit animals. And this is very popular, of course, among Native American culture, that maybe everybody has some kind of a creature that, for whatever reason, happens to connect more with your own personal frequency. And if you become cognizant of that, well, then you might use that creature as your representative. And so in this particular case, it may simply be that you are on the alignment with this type of creature, a black wolf, and you may have even seen the spirit of the wolf before you found its corpse. On the other hand, you know, sometimes we see these creatures and we call them harbingers, meaning that if you look back at your life and you think about what was happening at that time, Jacob, maybe just after you saw this black wolf, something significant occurred. It could be good, it could be bad. A lot of people make the mistake of automatically assuming that when you see some kind of, you know, a mysterious, dark-looking creature, it's always bad. But no, oftentimes they might be protecting you or guarding you. And so I would definitely suggest that you go back and think about anything that may have happened after you saw that. But this could be a great example of either a spirit animal that's connected to you or you actually witnessing the ghost of that wolf before finding its body.
Josh, 30 seconds left. Take a little time to tell us about your website and the many things that you provide for us.
Well, thank you, George. And you're right, I've been doing this for a long time. My website is joshuapwarren.com. I always point out there is no period after the P. If you go to joshuapwarren.com, you'll find a gallery of the strange with all kinds of cool stuff to look at. But right now, if you scroll down the homepage, you'll also be able to download a free copy of my book on the Brown Mountain Lights. Even if you don't think you'll ever go there, it's still a really cool read. And also, if you sign up for my free e-newsletter, I'll immediately send you an electronic good luck charm, and you'll be surprised at what happens afterwards. So again, that is joshuapwarren.com. George, I want to thank you so much for having me on this program as usual, and I cannot wait for the adventures we have in store next weekend.
I'll see you next weekend for sure. Up next, Open Lines, you and me on Coast to Coast AM.